What should we do about abortion? That's the topic of today's Daily Dose. You see, on January 13, 1984, President Ronald Reagan issued a proclamation designating January 22nd as the first National Sanctity of Human Life Day. And January 22nd, that's tomorrow. So what should our response to this proclamation and what should our response be to this ongoing evil of abortion in our land? Should we turn a blind eye? Should we pray? Well, I don't think we should turn a blind eye, and I think we should pray. What about fighting back? Should we fight back? What should we do? Well, I want to let Psalm 82 be a guide for us. And it says this, defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Our role, what are we supposed to do? Psalm 82 says that our role begins with this word, defend. Defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Well, I submit, first of all, that the weakest among us are the unborn. After all, they have no voice, no ability or opportunity to speak up or to cry out for justice. And so we are called to be the voices for those who are voiceless. Like a defense attorney who argues the case of their client, who proves and declares innocent, who pleads for mercy and demands freedom and justice, we are called by God to defend the unborn. This means that we, the people of God, salt and light, we have to speak out in the courts of public opinion. We must speak out and actively, verbally promote God's love for people. We must expose the evil that abortion is, and we must defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless, the unborn. What are some practical ways that we can do this? Well, we got to just get the word out. We can write letters to the editor, to azcentral.com. Go on there. Write them a letter. See if it gets published. Be a voice for the voiceless. We can attend town hall meetings with elected officials, and we can bring up the issue of life in school board meetings, in universities, classrooms, around the water cooler, at work, on the job site, wherever else God places you. We can use social media. We can blog. We can Facebook. We can tweet, whatever. We can send letters to our elected officials. We can get creative and become the voice for the voiceless, get engaged, take action, speak out, and defend the unborn. Psalm 82, it also encourages us to maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. How do we do this? Well, we establish and maintain the rights for the unborn by influencing our culture, including our lawmakers and courts. You know, there's a couple cases right now before the Supreme Court that have already been argued. We're waiting for results. How can we influence that court? Well, who better than Christians ultimately to be on those courts, to write the laws that uphold God's heart for life? We got to be those who helped enact laws that make the womb a safe place for babies in our nation. After all, unborn babies, they can't do this for themselves. And if we don't do it, then who's going to do it? Organization called Center for Arizona Policy, CAP, they're doing this. But it shouldn't be just left to them and the few. The entire body of Christ should be involved. I feel that every adult believer can have some involvement in this. It's a matter of being aware and willing what laws are being debated related to life. We can find them online. We can do a little bit of research. We can share this information with one another. And then we can use our voice to lobby our elected officials and ask them to stand for life. Let our officials hear the loud and united, unified voice of the followers of Jesus, saying, defend the unborn. I also believe that maintaining rights for the poor and oppressed means that believers must help elect And I would say this, even ourselves campaign for those who are committed to defending the unborn and ending abortion. Maybe even running for office ourselves. And third, Psalm 82 tells us to rescue and deliver. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Psalm 82, 4. Rescue. What's that all about? Well, I mean, as far as I know, rescue implies direct action and intervention. Sometimes we need to step in. We need to step in between. We need to maybe even go to Planned Parenthoods where this evil is taking place. Taking action includes demonstrations of compassion also for pregnant mothers and subsequently for their newborn babies. It's getting in there, getting our hands dirty, being present. Christian pro-life advocates, they've been excelling at this arena for decades. You know, there are numerous ministries such as Choices Pregnancy Centers of Gilbert and Chandler, another one. Pregnancy centers and care centers around the nation that have been dedicated to assisting pregnant women in crisis like this. There are Christian pro-life, compassionate doctors who provide free prenatal care to mothers in crisis pregnancies. There are pro-life attorneys who offer free legal services when the mother chooses adoption. Pro-life ministries provide free ultrasounds, counseling, services. They provide baby supplies and even financial aid to those mothers who have need or who are in a crisis pregnancy. Not only do these actions show compassion, but they actually are meeting tangible needs. And they're demonstrating the essence of the biblical worldview that we carry of the gospel of Christ. That is to love and to care for those in their time of need. Don't walk by them. Theologian Wayne Grudem asserts this. He says, if we really believe that an action is taking innocent lives, then we will not be content to depend on moral influence to stop it. That means we'll actually step in and get involved. And so if murder is wrong, then a society, and we're part of that society, we have a responsibility to take action and to prevent that wrong. And so with this in mind, if Christians, if you and me, if we truly believe that abortion is murder, then we should be compelled to take action in order to prevent it. And again, some are. Thankfully, we're still able to do this in a peaceful way through our legal system, through elections, our ability to exercise our free speech. But we have to do this. Remember, we are salt and light. Maybe you're thinking, but what if I'm someone who's been on the wrong side of this sanctity of human life issue in the past? What if I've actually supported or maybe even had an abortion in the past? I'm here to tell you that there is forgiveness for anyone who's been involved in this. Any one of us who feels convicted for walking by and not even helping. If we confess, Scripture says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. There's forgiveness. There's a new day in Christ Jesus. So Lord, may we, your church, actually stand up and take that place that we need to take of defending the weak and the fatherless. Lord, help us to maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed, and to rescue the weak and the needy from the hand of the wicked. And Lord, I ask, show mercy on us as a nation. And God, in our lifetime, even in this year, may this evil be abandoned, and may we see life win the day. Amen. Amen.